You're listening to Fandomaniacs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Brittany.
Welcome to the show. We're back from a long hiatus. I want to start off the show by giving a few shout-outs. First shout-out goes to Chuck, Lonnie, and History Dave from the Dragons Landing In podcast. They mentioned us on show number 87 and had some positive things to say about us, so thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Another shout-out goes to Norbert from Germany and everyone else that's been sending us feedback. Keep them coming, and thank you for that. Our last shout-out goes to Chris Goneman from Basic Fantasy Role-Playing Game, who put our banner on the Basic Fantasy Role-Playing Game website. Thanks, Chris. We're a fan of your game, and I'm glad to see that you appreciate our show. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, we got a bunch of games to review, but I want to start by making an announcement. The ICON is coming.
Yeah.
Anybody who lives on the East Coast may be familiar with the ICON Convention, which is held at Stony Brook University in New York, and that is on Long Island. It is one of the larger conventions on the Northeast. So, Brittany, what do you want to say about the ICON? I mean, we've been going there. You've been going there since you've been born.
2 more months!
Yeah, I know. We're really looking forward to it. It is our home convention, so we'll definitely be there.
I've been waiting since last ICON.
We'll definitely be doing a lot of gaming there this year, so if you do stop by the gaming track and stop by and say hello to us. Anyway, we have a whole bunch of games to review. I'm going to start off by reviewing Colonial Gothic by Rogue Games. Richard from Rogue Games sent us a review copy of the game, and this is a beautifully laid out book. I even like the artwork in it. The artwork really kind of captures the period, which is the Revolutionary War. Let me start off by saying Colonial Gothic is a historical supernatural role-playing game that takes place during the Revolutionary War. So if you're into the colonial period, this is definitely the role-playing game for you. It's also packed with a whole bunch of historical and background information, so if you're like me and you're not really that familiar with that time period, it really kind of sets the setting for you. It's a pretty rules-light system. It's pretty easy to teach other people how to play once you get a grasp of the rules. The rule system uses D12s, mostly 2 D12, 12-sided dice, for combat, skill, and ability feats. And it's a great game, and I'm looking forward to playing it. The next game up I have is the Scout Role-Playing Game by Loveless Games. Patrick Loveless sent us a review copy of his game. Scout is a sci-fi space exploration role-playing game. In the game, players can choose to be either a human, a Grylon, a Grawlin, or a Savalon.
Now, what's a Grylon?
Okay, a Grylon is an alien that originated from the harsh volcanic planet Kratos. Savalons are a race that comes from the great ocean world of Proteus. Grawlins are a race that doesn't claim any planet as a homeworld and have, through the ages, lost their knowledge of where its location is. So there's a lot of very interesting races that you can play in this game. Scout is a rules-light system that uses percentile dice for combat and feats. If you're looking for a space game with detailed background and settings, Scout probably won't be for you. There really isn't a lot of background information in the game, so it really doesn't set the setting for you. If you're looking for an open system with the freedom to develop your own gaming universe, Scout sets a good foundation with its core mechanics for you to build upon. Scout is also a complete box set which includes rulebooks, dice, GM screen, an introduction adventure, reference charts, and more. It's very reminiscent of the old-school role-playing games of the past where you basically got a box set that included dice, included just about everything you needed to get started.
Well, that sounds fun.
So, yeah, it definitely looks like a fun game, and being that it's rules light, it looks like a game that would be pretty easy for me to teach the kids how to play. So,
yep.
You know, we're definitely going to give it a try, and we're probably going to revisit this at a later time.
I'm the kid.
To let you know how it went. A few weeks ago, my entire family, we went and we hung out with LIBO, who are the Long Island Board Gamers organization here on Long Island, and we got to game with them a little bit, and we got to try out some really cool Euro board games. I'm a huge fan of Euro board games. Some of the games we played were Soro, Senator, and Colosseum. Brittany, do we have anything to say about any of these games?
They're all very interesting games, and they're really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Alright, another game me and Brittany got to play out of my own personal collection was Fairy's Tale role-playing game, which is a role-playing game designed for kids. It is by Firefly Games, and Brittany, what did you think of the game?
Well, it's not just for kids. It's for everyone. Everyone can play. Well, it's about, like, you could be a fairy.
Yeah.
You could be a fairy, any kind of fairy you want. You could be a pixie, you could be a brownie.
Yeah, you could be a pixie, you could be a brownie, you could be a sprite,
Pooka.
And you could be a pokas. Yeah.
Pooka.
Well, poka, sorry.
Pooka.
Oh, Pooka. I'm
Pooka,
sorry.
My God.
You could be a Pooka, yeah.
It's called Pooka.
And when you played the game, what fairy were you?
I'm a pixie, and...
And what exactly are pixies?
They're, little creatures that can fly.
They're fairies with wings.
Yeah.
Basically. We also played this with my 7-year-old daughter, Kristen, and she had a really great time. I mean, if you're a parent like myself and you're looking for a game to introduce to the kids in your life, especially the younger ones, I'd say probably, I think the rules say ages 6 and up, and I'd say that's probably very accurate. The core mechanics are so simple, you could definitely teach them to a 6-year-old. And it has a lot of like storytelling elements to it. They have a system where basically you can pay essence points to change the story somewhat, which I thought was very interesting. There's also a reward system where you can gain these essence points from doing certain deeds. And your essence points are kind of like your points that you use for fairies to create certain types of magic, or produce magic. And it's also the hit points for the fairy. It's how much damage a fairy can take before its fairy falls asleep. Nobody dies in this game. Pretty much fairies, when they suffer a certain amount of damage, they fall asleep. The game we played was the that was included in the rule book called Jack and the Beanstalk. It was a short game, but it was definitely a good game to introduce them to the core and to help them master the core mechanics of the system. What'd you think of your first adventure?
Well, I thought it was kind of fun. It was funny that it was about Jack and the Beanstalk, because you didn't really expect it. You just had like a friend named Jack in the beginning. You're like, all right, friend named Jack. Then you figure out that like the mother got angry at him and stuff, and there's a giant beanstalk. I'm like, isn't that like Jack and the Beanstalk or something?
Basically what happens is Jack gets captured by the giant, and it's up to the fairies to rescue him. So it was really, it was a really cool beginning adventure for them. I definitely recommend this game for a family to play together, and a great introductory game. Okay, Brittany, what do you want to talk about?
Alright, you know we all like watching Naruto, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, since you finally caught up, would you like to say anything about Naruto?
Sure, I finally got to catch up on all the English-dubbed episodes of Naruto.
That I was on. We're up to episode 142 and 143, which is on tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
PM.
The only thing I'm getting a little frustrated with is just the, you know, that it just seems like these episodes take a really, really long time to accomplish something.
Yeah, like when they're conquering the Leaf Village and stuff, it took like about 6 episodes or something.
It gets frustrating, especially when they only show you 2 episodes a week. But I still like the show, and I'm still going to continue watching it, and...
Yeah, it's really fun, though.
I'm just really interested in finding out what happened to Sasuke, and whether or not they get a chance to finally rescue him from Orochimaru.
Yeah.
Another really great anime series, which we just finished watching, was Fruits Basket, which I thought was really kind of cute, but kind of a very interesting story to it.
Yeah.
So, and which was really funny is because I never really wanted to see Fruits Basket because I really kind of thought it was a show more for a female audience. But it definitely has enough like little storytelling elements in there that make it even interesting for guys as well. So I definitely recommend that series. I won't say too much about it to give anything away, but it's basically about a girl who lives with this very special family. Each of the family members can transform into one of the animals of the Zodiac. And I won't say anything else about the series. I definitely check it out. And shoot us an email and let us know what you think about it. Well, speaking of, you know, we were just talking about Naruto before. Brittany, you finally got to get Naruto Clash of the Ninja Revolution for the Wii.
Yeah.
So now that you've played the game for a while, you know, what would you like to tell us about it?
It's a really awesome fighting game. The graphics are awesome, and it's fun. You got to play a little bit. What do you think of it, Dad?
I got to play the game a little bit, and yeah, I like the game a lot. It's a really, really cool fighting game, and I wasn't sure exactly how a fighting game would translate onto the Wii Remote, but the Wii Remote is actually really awesome for fighting games, and yeah, I think the game is really cool. I mean, I definitely like all the characters. I like their finishing moves, and I like even the little cartoon segments that they have in between are pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I looked on the computer, and there's a lot of Naruto fighting games, and they're all, like, most of them are on the DS and stuff. I got one on the DS. It's about, you have to, like, play a whole bunch of missions. First, you, like, start off with D-rank missions, then you go up and up and up into, like, C-rank, then to B-rank and A-rank. But it depends on if you're Jonin or Chunin or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you also beat a couple games recently, right? What games have you just recently beaten?
The new game that I got for Christmas, Mario Galaxy. Basically about Mario in space, because Bowser got the power to float in space and to breathe in space. And he wanted to, instead of conquering the whole Mario universe, the whole Mario world, he wanted to conquer the whole universe, So he took the whole castle instead of Peach this time, with Peach in it, and,
yeah, I saw that opening segment where the whole castle just goes flying out into space.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
And, well, you gotta play it, too. I can't explain it. It's so awesome. You gotta play it.
And I think you also beat Luigi's Mansion, finally, right?
Yeah.
Which you haven't really, really ever tried to really actually play the game, but
yeah,
once you play it, you beat it pretty quickly.
Yeah, when I was a little, I used to be terrified of the game because there's ghosts and stuff. Then I realized, wait a second. They're like, really stupid ghosts. I mean, they, like, run into you and wait until you capture them with a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
So, they're not really that scary.
But I always thought that was kind of cool, like, doing a Ghostbusters-type game with Mario.
Yeah, I was imagining one day, like, Luigi with the Ghostbusters theme walking around the mansion.
So did you finally rescue Mario then, or?
Yeah, I rescued Mario. It's kind of a spoiler if I talk about me rescuing Mario a little bit.
Okay, so.
But, yeah.
We don't have to mention that then.
Yeah. It's a fun game. Let's see, we've been playing Mario Party 8, right?
Yep.
What do you think of Mario Party 8, Dad?
I think it's pretty cool. I definitely like, you know, playing Mario Party with the Wii Remote.
Yeah.
Once you're used to the Wii Remote, it's really kind of hard to go back.
Back to controller and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty hard, but I think I got used to it.
I don't know, maybe we'll play some tonight, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Alright.
As I mentioned before, the Icon is coming. The Icon is our local convention that's here at Stony Brook University in New York, which is on Long Island. So if you're going to be in the neighborhood, definitely stop by. It's a great convention. It's a huge convention, and it has just about a little bit of everything. I mean, they have science fiction, they have fantasy, they have role-playing games, board games. Anime is a huge part of the convention, so
yeah.
If you're into anime, definitely go. And, you know, if you're into cosplaying or wearing costumes, definitely go for it.
Everyone wears costumes there. Everyone.
If you're into LARPing, they do LARPing. I mean, it's got just about everything. I go there a lot because I like the writers and the authors that are there. So, if you're into writers, authors, comic books, anything like that, that's all covered at the Icon convention. So hopefully if you are there and you stop by the gaming track, which we probably will spend a great portion of our time at, and if you see us there, stop by and say hi. Anyway, this is going to be a shorter episode than normal. The only good news is that we're going to continue the show. We're going to try to do it a little bit more frequently. If not, we'll return to our schedule of releasing 2 episodes per month. We're doing a lot of gaming now, so we're probably going to be having a lot more to talk about. So definitely join us for our next episode. And like always, if you have any feedback or suggestions, please email us at fandomaniacs@gmail.com. Also, visit our website at fandomaniacs.com. Goodbye.
I miss this song so much. Bye.
This has been a production of Fandomaniacs, copyright 2008, fully owned by its host. Our theme music was performed by Third Fire and is licensed under a Creative Commons license. Listeners are free to use this show for non-commercial purposes as long as credit is given to Fandomaniacs. For more information, visit us at fandomaniacs.com.